Regardless of where you are in your homesteading journey, whether you are just starting out or you've been at it for a while, there is no way that any of us can know absolutely everything when it comes under the homesteading umbrella. And this is where it is key that you are learning from people who have life experience and have been doing this homesteading when it comes to livestock in the kitchen, but they have been doing it for a long time so that you can bypass the mistakes that they have made along the way. And getting it delivered in your mailbox, in your hands every single month from some of the most trusted voices in homesteading is exactly what you need. And Homestead Living now has Homesteading Monthly, which is an in-print monthly magazine featuring articles from Joel Salatin, myself, Carolyn Thomas, as well as homesteaders who you may not have heard from them, but they have been perfecting their craft and are very much an expert in their area. You can get this for less than $2 an issue. Yes, that is an in-print jam-packed with articles every single month. Go to homesteadliving.com and grab your subscription right now.
Welcome to the Pioneering Today podcast. This is episode number 81, and this is a very special episode. This is where I get to interview my dad and share with you his wisdom from growing up during the Great Depression and then even beyond then, because they still lived without electricity, without indoor plumbing, and raising almost everything themselves. So you get to hear what it was like from someone who really lived during that time. And it was so much fun because I got to learn new things too. There was things that I didn't even know that he shared on here. So it was a learning experience for me, and I'm really excited that I get to share it with you guys. My dad is Tom Dellinger, and he's here with us today. Just a little bit of housekeeping notes when we mention certain things. So where my dad was raised at, we still call the homestead, and it is the house, and it's still standing, and it still doesn't have electricity. It's wired. You can hook up a generator or a battery, but it's not really wired for electricity. There's no electricity that runs out there. There's still no indoor bathroom or indoor plumbing other than the sink that has the hand pump. And we refer to it as the homestead because that's when my grandparents and him moved out here from North Carolina in the 1940s. That's where they ended up purchasing the property and living during the childhood years with all of them. And so we still refer to it as the homestead even today.
I'm really excited to share today's free download that I created for you guys. And it is my grandmother's actual cornbread recipe from the Great Depression era, the cornbread that she made. And what's really special is this is actually the only recipe that I have from her. She wrote it out in hand for my mother because she wanted to be able to make my dad the cornbread that he remembered from his childhood. So in the freebie downloads, which you can get at melissakenorris.com, just click on the podcast button. This is episode number 81, and you can grab that download. And I also have in there a Great Depression era biscuit recipe. And what's really fun is I shared a photo of my grandmother and the kids when they were little from the 1940s at the actual homestead taken in the front yard. So that's place that we are talking about, you actually get to see a photo of, which was really fun for me. And I hope that you enjoy it and that you go and grab those recipes. Again, you can grab that freebie at melissakenorris.com, podcast button, episode number 81.
So welcome, Dad.
Thank you.
One of the first questions that we have, it came in from a reader and listener, Janet, and she said her question is, if you knew that there was another Great Depression coming or worse, where would you choose to live if you could? What area of the United States?
Probably right here.
Right here, the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what one thing would he or you make sure that you had before it hit if you knew that was coming? What would be some things that you would make sure you had lined up or in place if you knew that was here?
Well, I think you should have a cow for milk and butter from the milk, and a pig or two, and then that way, and chickens. And you pretty well got everything then that you would need to eat, besides growing a garden in the summertime.
Trisha asked, what is it like to use the outhouse at the different seasons of the year?
very cold at times. And that old Sears and Roebuck catalog, the pages got a lot stiffer in cold weather.
Was that what you guys used for toilet paper? Was just old catalogs?
Yeah.
Is that what you had? Yeah. Now, so with the outhouse, how often, or did you have to move it? Like, how deep was the hole dug that where it was at?
Well, they moved it around. Yes, it was probably moved, at least 10, 12 times that I can remember while we lived there.
And
they would dig down probably 3 or 4 feet underneath, and then they'd save the dirt. And then when you moved the outhouse, you took that dirt and put over top of the remains that was from the other outhouse.
So you just covered it up and then moved it around.
Yeah.
So how often would you move it, like once a year, or how many times a year would you have to move it?
It depend on how many people were using it. And it could be once a year, maybe twice a year.
Yeah. So not real. I mean, not real often.
No.
Not like all the time.
And you put lime in it to keep the smell down.
Yeah.
Ever so often.
The lime helped.
Yeah.
And then Patricia has another question. She said, were there any dangers from other people, or did you need to have guns in order to protect your family?
Well, you always had a gun, and that was for hunting also.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't as many people coming through the country as there is right now. So, but there were still a few that we considered outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
You'd want to protect your family, and that was one way to do it.
Okay, we've got questions here from Lisa, and she wants to know, what did you guys do back then for fun?
Well, we had a battery-powered radio, and in the evening, we got to listen to the Lone Ranger and Gene Autry. And different ones for 30 minutes. And the kids were very quiet then because all you had was the voice coming over the radio. And you could hear the horses galloping coming through the radio and stuff like that. And then they played cards such as fish and checkers, different things like that.
Mm-hmm. What were your parents' big rules? Did Grandma and Grandpa have any really certain hard, fast rules that they stuck by?
Well, yeah, we had so many chores we had to do every day, and one of them was we had to get wood in for Mom at the wood cook stove and have kindling for next morning. So when she got up, Dad usually got up and built a fire because they had to cook breakfast. And we always had a big breakfast, like biscuits and eggs and oatmeal and gravy and stuff.
So you always had a pretty big breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Was breakfast the biggest meal of the day? Or did you have a big supper and a smaller dinner?
Supper was a big dinner. And we always had lunch because it was always like a pot of beans or stew sitting on the stove. And they kept it just about the boiling point. And a lot of times they would just add to it.
Just keep adding.
Because there was no refrigeration.
Right.
And they had what they called a cool room. And instead of having windows, it had screen over where the window was, and it would let the cool air in.
And that was in the kitchen, in the room of the house?
No, it was on the outside. Now, some like Grace and Olin, Howard Stafford's grandma and grandpa, they had theirs in the kitchen. And you just opened up a door, like in the cupboard, and it was usually the one on the end or next to the wall.
On an exterior wall.
Yes.
Okay.
And it had a screen in it, and it let the cool air in. And that's where they put the butter and the milk. Although we did have over the bank, this side of the old homestead house, we had a hole dug, and there was water that stood in that hole, and we set the milk and stuff in that to keep it cool.
Okay. And so you had your own milk cow that you guys milked?
Usually had 2 or 3 milk cows. And when one was dry, getting ready to have a calf, the other one you could milk. And then you just chained back and forth.
So basically you were getting fresh milk every day. So you just milk and then use it what you were going to use for the meal times or churn your butter. And then what was ever left would go in either the cool room or out in the little hole where the water was to keep
it
cold.
Yeah. Okay. And the same way with pigs, although you just butchered pigs probably once a year, but then like salt pork, and Morton salt, I think they was the name of it. And you'd rub that salt into the meat, and it cured it. Mm-hmm. And then we had the lockers at Rockport. Morgan Adair had lockers there, and you rented a little cage-like thing in a big room of the locker. And then when you go over to get your mail and stuff, if you needed meat, then you'd pick up, go up and get a package or two out of the locker.
So they had obviously electricity and refrigeration in there. So if you needed to store something like your meat, you just kept it at the locker. Yeah. Well, so then how often, because like today, you know.
Either that or you canned it. We ate a lot of canned meat.
Grandma canned a lot of it.
Yes.
Now, like today, a lot of people, you know, will just run to the store on your way home from work or whatever. You don't really think a whole lot of going by the store and grabbing something almost every day or every other day or whatever. But how often back then did Grandma actually go to the grocery store and go grocery shopping?
Well, our basic thing for going to the grocery store was like flour, salt, sugar, and stuff like that. And lard, of course. But when we butchered the pig, then we rendered the lard. And it was good for gravy and different things like that. And, oh, she usually bought it in bulk. Mm-hmm. Like 50 pounds of flour, 25 to 50 pounds of sugar, and things like that. So
she didn't go to the grocery store very often, then just when she needed
not
to get the
real
bulk,
often, no.
The bulk items.
And then she baked cornbread, she made biscuits, and occasionally she would make what we call light bread. Other than that, you know, until I started the school, and then they finally got a cafeteria in Rockport, school, that it was quite a treat to get a piece factory made bread.
Right. So when you say light bread, you mean like a yeast bread that rises, like a kind of like a sandwich loaf. It was a loaf of bread. So she didn't bake that very often. Was it because you had to purchase the yeast and yeast was an expense?
Well, yeah, it took more time.
Yeah.
And then, there was no additive to keep the shelf life.
Right.
And it was just as easy to make so many biscuits for, we'll say you had 6-8 people that was going to have dinner.
Right.
And that's what it was easier to keep that bread and not, you know, let it spoil. Because you had to be very careful on the food that you threw away. Although what come off the table went to the pigs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing to do as a child? Anything you didn't get caught?
Oh, probably going out and having, as my grandson Landon says, having a camp out.
Yeah.
And we would cook up potatoes and different things. And occasionally we'd catch a fish and roast it over a fire.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't have really the hunting and fishing seasons and restrictions now, did they back then? Or people just
did
what they...
Yeah, they did, but you didn't have to worry too much about game warden because... it was quite a ways to go to the homestead.
Right.
And as long as you didn't waste anything that you killed, people didn't think too much about it. Mm-hmm. They just go ahead and use it. If you used it, then that was fine.
So with all of the stuff, like you basically had your own dairy. So that was for your milk and butter and cheese. And so, Grandma, did she just have it? How often did she make the butter? Did she churn every day, or she would just save the cream up?
No. I don't know exactly how long buttermilk would keep, you know. But she used buttermilk for biscuits and different things. And when she ran out, then it was time to churn again.
And she'd just make it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she used a lot of sour cream buttermilk. And myself, I like the sweet cream much better.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like for cooking with it. And Dad was great for, he would take the butter and he would fry potatoes and different things in it.
Yeah. Well, I think with the sour cream, that it naturally sours when you leave it out when you don't have refrigeration, but it also creates like a culture so it keeps it longer, which is probably why she used.
Yes, I think it did.
So yeah. It kind of was a natural way of preserving it. When you didn't have the fridge.
And she would make cottage cheese and different things. But I think On the cottage cheese, you had to use sweet cream.
Mm. Yeah. Did she make any of the like hard cheeses? Did she do like any of the aged cheeses?
Not that just I
more
remember,
the
no.
soft cheeses.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't have taken as much time or resource to make.
And then she would churn a lot of butter and take it over to Rockport to Mrs. Presentine and Milton and Eller Osborne, which they bought the homestead rights from. And she would trade that for different things at the store.
Mm-hmm. How many chickens did you guys keep?
Oh, probably 50, 60 chickens. We always had plenty of eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
And plenty of chickens to eat. If company come, then chicken got its head chopped off.
And that was dinner. Yeah. Well, because if she pretty much only bought staples from the grocery store, then basically your, like, fruits and vegetables would have been just what you guys grew yourself is pretty much what you had. Is that?
Oh, it was nothing for Mom to have probably in the fall. She would probably can 200-300 jars, quarts, some half gallons. It was a whole different thing then. And like fish, she always canned a lot of fish because, and a lot of canned meat, especially deer meat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was much better canned and still is today.
You prefer the canned flavor or texture of the meat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can open up a can of deer meat and you got the gravy and the meat right there.
Already
All you got to do is eat it up and have some biscuits. You got a good meal there.
Yeah. So like for fruit and stuff, would she just can it or dry it or what kind of fruits? I mean, do you
mostly
apples?
Canned. We didn't, well, she canned everything, peaches, pears, apples and prunes and just a lot of things.
Just anything that you could get here, then she just would can it because to preserve it to eat throughout the winter time.
Right.
Yeah. So then, fresh vegetable wise, until it was time to have the garden come back on, you didn't really have a lot of fresh vegetables. It all had to be pretty much canned or dried. I mean, you didn't go to the store and just purchase a head of lettuce every week for a salad or something.
That didn't come in until later years.
Yeah.
No, it was a different lifestyle. And you had to plan ahead or you went hungry.
Yeah.
And because there was no unemployment. And back then, wages, I can remember when Dad was getting $8 a day. And then he got it up to $12, and he really thought he was getting rich.
And that was a day?
Yeah.
Per day?
That was a day's wages. And maybe 10, 12 hours. It wasn't no 8-hour shift.
And that was in the woods, logging?
That was in the woods. And he did work, I don't know what he got when he worked in the shingle mill at Marble Mount when we first came out. We lived up there.
Mm-hmm, first.
And then we moved to Mount Rainier, and he was froze on the job. That's when the war broke out.
So he was frozen. So he wouldn't get called drafted into the war as long as he
stayed
at that job.
Well, they needed the piling and stuff for landing ships and or stuff on the shores over there.
Right.
And he was good. He was a good timber faller.
Uh-huh.
And so he was froze on the job there. Then when that ended, then we moved back up here and went to the homestead.
I see.
Which is on the Sauk over there.
Right. So how many kids did Grandma and Grandpa have at that time when you guys moved out of the homestead? Like how many of you were in the homestead house? Because it only has two bedrooms. So.
Well, it actually had three, possibly four.
Oh, back then?
Upstairs, yeah. See, they was beds up there. And Mom, she kept boarders from time to time. And then Uncle Ralph, he boarded with us too. Mom's half-brother.
Oh.
And yeah, she took and got a few bucks that way.
Mm-hmm. You know? To help.
I mean, maybe 20, 25 bucks a month.
Right.
And she done the washing and cooking for them.
And, so what was like a yearly salary back there then? Back then, I know.
I don't think there was any such thing.
Not really such as like an average. It was just whatever you were able to get. Now, like, so she would sell the eggs or take the butter to help for barter for groceries and stuff and take in boarders. But as a whole back then, the women really didn't work. They were at home for the most part.
That's right. They had a full-time job, just keeping the house going.
Yeah.
And canning and taking care of the milk and different things. Although Mom didn't milk much. I mean, that was my job and one of my other brothers, so it's 2 years younger. Mm-hmm. And dad, he kind of overseen that.
The milking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then how did you guys do your own hay, or what was the feed? Did you raise your own feed for the cattle through the winter, or what did you do
with
that?
Well, Dad, he worked around, and we got a lot from Alvin Hares, which is a place I own now. And if the hay got a little damp and they had plenty of hay, then they would let other people come in and take it, because they didn't want it left on the field to mold and rot.
Right.
And although Dad did, he did cut some hay at the homestead.
Did he hand cut it then, like just with a scythe?
Yeah, he cut it with a scythe, yeah.
And then you just had a big barn that you put it like up in the loft to store?
Well, to start with, they stacked it outside like they do back east. They put a pole in the ground and stacked around it. And then it was like a thatch roof. The water run off.
Oh, I see.
And but they was a lot of waste here because of the moisture.
Right.
And like Eastern Washington, it's dry, and you could get away with more without putting it inside the barn.
And here it molded, yeah. Mildewed more.
And then Dad, he later on, he built a pretty good sized barn over there, and we put the hay in the barn.
Right.
Which was much better.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't get so much right. It lasted a lot longer.
Right.
Now, did you have all the chickens in a coop, or did they just free range?
No, they were. No, we had a big chicken pen, and probably, I would say 10 by 20 chicken house. Mm-hmm. And it had nests in there for the chickens to go lay in.
Right. And, did you have a lot of predator problems with them? Getting in
the
chicken
really.
Pen?
Not really. The biggest thing was like ox. Would come and try to get the chickens. Yeah. No.
So I got one more question here. This one's from Lisa, and it says, how old were you when you got married?
I was 18.
Well, same here. I followed in your footsteps. Hmm. And how old were you when you guys had your first child?
I was 18.
Were you 18? Yeah.
Yeah. 18 or 19, right in there. But before that, when we lived at the homestead, we had to walk to Rockport, which is about a 3-mile walk one way.
And that was to school. You had to walk 3 miles
to school.
Yeah.
We had to cross the ferry.
And the creek. There's a creek that runs.
Yeah, it was there.
Yeah.
We had to wade the creek. And Gracie, my next to the youngest sister, she had to walk with us.
You didn't ping each other over the head, fighting and fussing on your way?
Oh, I'm sure there was some of that.
I can only imagine my two having to walk to school that far. They'd probably end up getting walloping each
that
other.
That school sure looked good, though, when your pant legs was froze about halfway to your knees, and it was coal-fired over there. And we'd stand over the heat register there and let the warm air come up on your pant legs.
Till they were thawed out.
Yeah.
Man.
And then in later years, I did run the ferry right up. Off and on till they put the bridge in.
Mm-hmm. So what was some of your very favorite things that Grandma cooked? Like, what was some of your favorite recipes that she'd make back then, or foods?
Rice pudding.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd just melt in your mouth, rice pudding. But yeah.
Was it like a special treat, or did she make it very often? Because you couldn't really grow rice here.
Well, she bought the rice, of course, at the store.
Yeah.
Ed Presentine's Mercantile Store, Frank McGovern's. And once in a while, we got down to Van Horn, mm-hmm. which Albert's owned that then.
Right.
Which built the store that has the Red Apple now.
Yeah.
Their grandparents.
Loves that store. So when you needed, like, how many outfits or shoes did you have, like clothes and shoes-wise? I mean, now we've got closets full, but back then.
Well, you usually got a new pair when school started.
New pair of shoes.
And then your other pair that you had, that was work shoes.
So you just had your nice pair in the
pair. Yeah. You got your butt tanned if you got out there with them new shoes and got in water and stuff.
I can imagine Grandma whooping you.
And we usually had boots in the wintertime, rubber boots, on account of the snow. Because mm-hmm. it was not unusual for the snow then to be over the fence posts.
Yeah, it's definitely changed.
Yes,
climate-wise.
Yeah. And one day I think it'll be back here.
Yeah, cyclic. Yeah.
Cycle.
Yeah. Well, then, so did, well, obviously you ordered the shoes or went to the store and bought them. Did it, was it mail
Sears
order?
Sears and Roebuck.
The catalog.
And Ed Presentine usually had shoes. And Frank McGovern had some, too.
Then what about, like, your clothes? Did Grandma sew them all? Or did you order them or go to
the
store?
She made a lot of them.
Did she?
Yeah. Especially shirts. Pants, you usually bought.
Yeah. And were those an item that you ordered out of the catalog, too? Or was there a store
a
you
lot,
could go?
A lot of times, yes. And that's then cool. If we got down to the little store in Concrete there that Mildred had. The
department store.
Yeah.
Then you purchase them there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was quite a treat to get to go to Concrete. That was a big store for us.
Yeah.
Because they had this cement plant and all of that, you know, going. And it was, they had the trains, and they was two passenger trains a day come into Rockport. Mm-hmm. Plus the log trains going out.
Yeah, that's big. Did the train still run through here when you were little?
I had a girlfriend that lived at Diablo, Linda. And she'd come down on the train.
When did the train stop running through here?
When did it stop?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. That probably was in about late 50s.
When, like, what was a typical thing or, you know, kind of average things that Grandma would cook? Like, I know you said for breakfast you do, like, biscuits and gravy and eggs. But what were some of the typical lunch items that you'd have? If she didn't do the sandwich bread, what would you have for lunch then?
Oh, we'd have biscuits, and they was beans, like I say, always on the pot boiling, and maybe we call it son of a gun stew, and things like that, you know. And occasionally Dad was quite a fly fisherman, and he'd have trout, and, you know, whatever was handy is what we cooked up.
So when you have a pot of beans, do you mean, like, green beans or the shelly beans?
No,
dried beans.
Well, we could have green beans if we wanted to open a jar of them.
Right.
Mom always canned a lot of green beans. And the shelly beans, she was pretty good at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty much you just ate for your lunch wasn't really a different meal. I mean, it was pretty much kind of the same food you'd cook for dinner or supper, what you called it back then. But supper was
you might
more
say
foods.
Leftovers.
Yeah. Lunch was more your leftovers from the day before.
Yeah. And biscuits, like, from breakfast, they were still good at noon.
Okay. So she just said kind of make, like, a double batch of the biscuits or cornbread or whatever from breakfast to carry over into lunch?
Well, we didn't have cornbread for breakfast. That was always for
supper time.
Or dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you pretty much always had a bread item, be it cornbread or biscuit or something like that, with dinner or with breakfast.
I remember she never used a bowl to mix up the flour in for the biscuits.
Oh, really?
She would just take and hollow out a little spot inside the 50-pound sack of flour, and she would pour the milk and stuff, the buttermilk right in that. And mix it up. And then she made the batter right there.
Right in the bag of flour?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then she'd take it out and put it on. And she called what she calls spoon bread.
Mm-hmm.
And she would put that on a pan that was sitting on top of the stove. And, of course, biscuits, you know, they went in the oven and was baked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same way with pie crust. She would just pour the whatever she was mixing up there to make the pie crust.
Mm-hmm.
She would pour it right in on top of the flour. She'd roll the flour, the cloth of the flour that was in the sack. She'd roll that back and just kind of roll it. And it was like a little bowl itself.
Right. And she just cooked right in there and they didn't have another bowl to wash, or it was just all done right in the big bag.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. You hadn't told me that story before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see her, and she'd mix it up. She'd wash her hands real good, and she'd get in there, and she'd mix it all up. And then the flour would, she mixed it up, and then when she felt that she had enough milk or dough, I guess you'd call it dough.
Yeah.
Mixed up. Well, the rest of the flour was there.
And she just would bake it up.
Yeah. And she'd just pick it up, and probably we had a cupboard. She always called it a cupboard. And it had a sifter in it, and you could put the flour in the sifter. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the flour then, it wasn't refined in like it is today.
Right.
And it had different, maybe a little kernels and stuff in it. And you turn that sifter, and it would sift out the nice, fine stuff.
Right.
And then you would take that sifter out and dump it out. Awesome. Give it the chickens.
Give the, okay. Well, I know Grandma was quite particular about her cornmeal. She only used white cornmeal for
That's
the food
right.
she baked
yeah.
with.
She or said the ate. Yellow cornmeal was for cows.
Yeah.
Stock.
I remember her saying that. I still remember that one.
Yeah, she had her way of thinking.
And yeah.
You wasn't going to change it, so.
Well, that's where I get it.
And no. I do like, I guess I would have to say I like white cornmeal better.
Do you think it is a texture or taste difference? Can you taste
it? Oh, it's different. It's different flavor.
Yeah.
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 Now, did she cook grits much, or she was more oatmeal?
No, not very many grits. No, I never really cared for it. I liked the oatmeal.
Yeah.
And of course, she'd always cook oatmeal, and she always seemed to have a bin or a bucket of raisins around.
Dried for, to put in the oatmeal, sweeten
yeah,
it up.
And she'd reach in there and put a handful
in the thing. So she pretty much cooked every meal.
Oh,
and
she
most,
did.
Yeah, and then most of the food she was also preserving and that she was cooking with, she had put up herself.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Was there ever a time like where the, you know, the harvest really failed or that you guys felt that you were really kind of low on food? Or did you always have enough to eat?
Oh, we always had plenty to eat.
Yeah.
Such as it was.
Right.
Yeah, because we always had meat. And Dad was, he always had 3 or 4 hives of bees for the honey.
Oh, did, was he a beekeeper?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and there's nothing better than honey on a hot biscuit or piece of cornbread.
Oh, yeah.
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 So that was really a treat, and we had a lot of that, so. No, we didn't go hungry.
No.
Sometimes our clothes was a little bit.
Threadbare.
Yeah.
Or getting a little small as you grew, but never a problem with food. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well, that, you know, like you look at kids and people today now, you know, an average society as a whole, I say, of course, there's always, you know, special cases and whatnot. But do you think that the way of life back then, I mean, it was harder, but in a way, do you think that some things were better about it?
Well, I do. I think it was. And it, you didn't have a kid sitting around with these, what do you call them?
The cell phones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cellular phones and different things.
Yeah.
And the kids had something to do.
Right.
They kept their mind. You didn't have kids getting in trouble like you do today. And there was no drugs. Well, I guess you could say there was no drugs, but there was alcohol mm-hmm. and cigarettes.
Yeah. And, do you feel that families were closer as a whole because you were working together or not necessarily?
Oh, I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, it was a good life. It was, you might say, a hard life, but it was a good life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you had heat, you got your firewood up in the summertime, stacked it in the woodshed.
So now we're spoiled. We got automatic wood choppers and chainsaws, but back then it was all done by hand, which is a hand-cut saw and an axe.
Yes, it, to start with, yes. And then later on, Dad got chainsaws.
Yeah.
And it was a lot easier with the chainsaw. And a lot of guys and would put it off getting the wood in the summertime because they felt they could go out there with a chainsaw, you know. And back then, there was a lot of old growth just laying around because when they logged, they only took the best part of it. And you could go out there and, oh, a couple, 3 hours, have quite a pile of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And which it really wasn't good on the women because if they'd have cut that wood in the summertime when the heat was up, it'd have been all good dry wood.
Right.
And there's quite a story on the pitch, but I won't tell that one.
Oh, you're going to give us a teaser and not tell us it. It must not be a story fit for fit for ears.
No.
Well, yeah, the wet, the green wood, it probably was harder to cook on. It would smoke and not get up the heat as well.
Well, inside the, after you got inside the, away from the sapwood, The old growth was dry.
It was dry no matter what, yeah.
And, but, you know, like when you cut it and you're out there in the rain and it's raining on it, and then wood is like a sponge. It's tendency to soak up so much moisture.
Right.
And
so then in the summertime, even when it was hot out, you still had to cook a fire to cook on because that was the only thing you cooked.
Oh, absolutely. So we canned outside.
You canned outside, keep the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just too hot inside.
Right.
And Mom, she would, what she called cold packing. She'd put a big tub over a fire. We had a framework. It had three legs, and it stood up about so high, and you could build a fire under it. And then she would save all of her can lids from the winter before, and she'd put them can lids in the bottom of the tub, and she would set the jars that she was canning down on that, and then she would take towels and wrap it around so when it got to boiling, they wouldn't rock together and break.
Right, so she just made her own canning rack. Now we just buy the canning racks, go inside, but so she used little can lids and then the towels to keep them from.
And then when Dad finally, he found a little motorized washing machine. Boy, we really went uptown with that. It had a wringer on it.
Yeah.
And had a little motor underneath. And that was a big improvement from using the scrub board.
I bet.
Yeah.
So, because when you had to do laundry, like obviously with just a tub and water and soap and the scrub board, how often did you just kind of have a wash day once a week or?
Whenever there was a pile of clothes there and you had to close, you had to
you
wash
them.
You
did not wash them, huh? Oh, man, I bet the winter time. I guess you'd have to wash inside to get the water warm because your hands would just freeze out.
Oh, there was lines hung upstairs because, see, there was two chimneys went up, and they're still there, and some of the lines probably are still up there, and Mom would hang them up there. Then she would hang, there was wires stretched across in the living room around the stove, and she would hang, like if we needed a pair of socks, and she would hang socks on it. And a pair of pants or whatever.
Just to get.
And it would dry quick.
To dry there. Yeah. With the heat from the.
And of course, the little old wringer wash machine, it would squeeze a lot of water out.
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, and I don't know whatever happened to that little machine.
Isn't that funny? And now we just open a lid and press a button and throw it in and.
Yeah. You got
there
it.
She goes. Yeah. I still do. I like lying dry, like in the summertime, even on a day like today where it's sunny out. I prefer lying dried myself.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Pioneering Today podcast. I hope you enjoyed this special interview as much as I did, and I look forward to reading your comments and your questions. Thanks for listening.